First off, we're trying to get information to inform the Air Force's mobile strategy. Second off, this particular experiment, Unified Capabilities 1, the objective was really not to identify a provider to do a one-size-fits-all mobile strategy or laydown for the entire Air Force. What we're really doing is evaluating different networks and equipment available so that we might be able to provide a menu of capabilities for combat Air Force's bases.
Okay, so this would be for mobile workers who are on bases, in other words, to be able to move around easily and be within a wireless communications environment?
Yes, that's our first target audience, really, is the Agile Combat Support Warfighter. That would include people like fire department, security forces, civil engineers, medical people, things like that.
And how do they communicate now?
Usually over a land mobile radio or over a hard phone line.
What are the capabilities this is going to provide that you don't have now?
Well, according to the providers, voice and data are the same thing. It's all data. And they probably would say the same thing about video. So depending on what the functional career field is, it might be all of those things. Security forces, there's an obvious requirement for video, for voice, and data.
It sounds like you're looking for something that's between Wi-Fi, which has limited distance, say, within a building, and just using the cellular carriers because of the expense. Is that a good way to characterize it?
Expense is a very significant issue, yes.
How might this get accomplished to have this wireless environment at a base, say? What technologies are you looking at?
3 and 4G.
And that would be from a carrier, or would you install premises equipment and operate a network yourself?
Now, the primary desire is to go with a commercial off-the-shelf solution. With the experiment, we weren't trying to identify a single provider. It was in no sense at all a fly-off or a performance event in that way. It was really an opportunity to showcase what their solutions might be for a base of, you know, X size. So you have 10,000 people on a base and you need cellular service or mobile service for that many users, which obviously includes data. How would they address that particular requirement? And on top of that, there's a normal requirement and then there's an augmented requirement where, say, a base is hit by some sort of natural disaster or some sort of event that denies service. How do we get that service back and how do we continue providing the required level of service to our Agile Combat Support personnel who might be the folks out there in the field linked up with Department of Homeland Security, local emergency service, and so forth, to continue to do their job and restore that service and get the base ready to fight again.
And Mr. Marion, then, what is it that you are looking at in terms of endpoints to be used?
The Air Force strategy right now is really a device-agnostic strategy where we're trying to leverage. Certainly, there's a lot of strength in BlackBerry that's been out there for years, and the new devices in Androids and iOS-based platforms. But fundamentally, the underlying in-device strategy is agnostic, with layers of security on top of those devices that provide basically the application-rich experience within what we call secure sandbox or secure containers. And in other words, we're securing our C2 data, our mission critical data, those bits of nuggets of core Air Force information inside of these secure enclaves. And so by leveraging commercial devices but layering on security on top of it, we can be much more agile in the device delivery without being as directive with respect to the end device management. The focus is really on the application layer above the end device.
The Air Force chose Joint Base Langley as the test site for all of this. I understand there was a cost savings component to that choice. Can you explain that?
From an efficiency perspective, it's about re-engineering our networks in ways that we haven't before. In other words, we've been doing conventionally wired infrastructure. It has a large capital expenditure cost for executing a large network like a Langley Air Force Base. And the prevalence of 4G and the ability to get inside of buildings, get pervasive high-speed coverage, really gets us to a place that we could only do with wired coverage historically. And so by leveraging kind of a hybrid approach to both of those, for example, an extended facility that may have 5 or 10 users in it, we can extend 4G coverage to them very cheaply with the same or sometimes even better coverage than you get with a wired solution. And so it's really looking at how do we look at the architecture and overall and put wired where it makes sense, but leverage things like 4G and LTE where it also makes sense to bring cost down and to bring the mobility aspect that is certainly needed by our first responders, our flight line operators, and the like.
We're speaking with Colonel Joel Martin. He's the Innovation and Experimentation Division Chief of the Air Force Command and Control Integration Center, and Mr. William Marion, who's Chief Technology Officer of the Air Combat Command Directorate of Communications. What is the mission enhancement that you expect when all of this technology is in place, Colonel Martin?
First and foremost, I think the mission enhancement is going to be increased situational awareness for commanders at all levels. We may get to a point very rapidly where we're able to provide information, push data up, and decision-level data up to force level. If we go where we think we would like to go with this type of technology and a few other things that we're putting together for a follow-on experiment.
Are these devices connecting to DoD networks in any way? And what about security? How are you making sure things stay secure, bad people stay out?
The great part about this architectural affront is it gives you the best of both worlds. And so, and what I mean by that is conventionally we wire everybody, whether it's a critical information node or less than critical information node, through the same base infrastructure. And we protect everything with the defense in depth structure that has been good for years, but now with the proliferation of end devices, we need to come up with an approach that is more of a hybrid model. And so by leveraging commercial connectivity with secure tunneling, secure network layers above them, we can kind of get the best of both worlds. We get a secure approach, but we put it over a commercially provided infrastructure. Really not too much different than we do our networks today on things like NipperNet, but it's fundamentally leveraging commercial technology in much better ways than we have in the past. And I would even probably state that it's a better security model, because what it also allows us to do is, when those secure connections aren't created, that there is no connection to the NipperNet. And so when folks are using internet-based capabilities like Twitter or Facebook or YouTube for mission reasons, or non-mission reasons, as allowed by the DoD rules, this allows them to do it without traversing the entire internal DoD networks. So it actually brings a better security model in the end than our current model of connecting everybody through the same NipperNet connections.
All right, give us an idea of where the project stands now. What's your timeline, and when will we see some of the bases start to get hooked up?
Air Force Space Command has the lead command for all of cyber activities, so we've been working with them over really the last year and a half to adjust architectural approaches. So our engineering group out at Tinker Air Force Base, that has a lead for base blueprints and how we engineer our networks, has been working on this for a while, and they're just now starting to publish some of those roadmaps, which is very promising. So now when bases go out and start looking at solutions for network issues or network challenges or modernization areas, we now have approaches through things like this JFX that we can give robust and reliable solutions to. So it's right now there is no single program of record, if you will, that is deploying 4G, but it will be integrated in with our normal network engineering steps and checklists that we go through at a base.